You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Well, good morning, and my name is Bin, and I'm the pastor at Sun Life Church. If this is your first time here to Sun Life Church, I just want to extend a warm welcome. I want to say thank you so much for taking the time out to be with us on this day. You know, it's a very special weekend for all Christians, all who have made the decision to follow Jesus. This is a very significant weekend because the Christian faith hinges on the event of the Easter weekend. And if this weekend never took place, I would agree with what the Apostle Paul once wrote. He would say that those who have made the decision to follow Jesus, Christians, that you're still in your sin and your faith is really useless. If the events of Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday never took place, then Christians, you're still in your sin and your faith is useless. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to look closely at the crucifixion. The passage that was being read by David, I want to look closely into Luke 23. And I want to take us right now to verse 35. The people stood watching. The rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah." So you have people, you have bystanders, you have religious leaders. They're taking a shot at Jesus. Jesus is hanging on a wooden cross and they're hurling insults at him. "Come on, you've saved others. We've seen your power in saving others. Now you save yourself if you claim to be God's Messiah." In fact, even the soldiers assigned to keep watch over the hanging Jesus, they also said very similar things. In verse 36 and 37, the soldiers also came up and mocked him, that's Jesus, and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And then we have the criminals, one of them to the side of Jesus, look what he said in verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. "Ain't you the Messiah? Come on, save yourself and us." Can you see the insults hurled at Jesus whilst hanging on the cross? Have you ever been insulted before? Have you ever been picked on before, bullied at school? What's the one thing that you hope for in those moments of suffering? Let me tell you a story. When I was 13 years old in high school, not too long ago, there was a moment when the toughest alpha male in year 8 wanted to pick on the weakest year 8 boy. And that weak boy happened to be yours truly. True story. This wasn't one of those David versus Goliath moments. No, very, very different. This really big alpha male year 8 boy thought it would be fun to pick on me and wanted to fight me. He wanted to take me to the octagon and start the UFC right in the quadrangle, and I was quite scared. And I realized this was serious and this wasn't a dream. This is going to happen around recess. But something wonderful happened that moment. A group of friends beside me, my friends, I can't really remember the exact words, but they said something along the lines of this: "If you touch Bin, you're touching all of us." That didn't sound right. That didn't come off right. It was along those lines. If you mess with him, you're messing with us. You get my point. See, the one thing we hope for in the midst of suffering, in the midst of insult, is the company of people who would be in our corner. People who loved us, people who would defend us. But in the text with Jesus, There were no friends around him. All his close friends who spent the past 3 years with him, they've all left him. They've all ran away. They're all in hiding, none to be seen. You know, separation from your loved one is one of the fears that humanity have. To be left alone, to be abandoned, to be forsaken, it's against the human nature. Parents out there, maybe you can remember the very first time you dropped off your child at daycare. Can you remember that feeling of saying goodbye to your child? The separation with your little one for the very first time. Is that right? It breaks your heart seeing your little one cry. It breaks your heart when you deceive your little one by telling your little one, "Daddy will be right back," and just go into the car to grab something. "I'll see you in 2 seconds," and you drive off. You know, I've heard of stories of parents hopping into the car, having a little cry before they start the ignition. You see, Jesus in the text, we're told he was forsaken on the cross. There was no one around him, but things got worse because that afternoon, something took place that broke the heart of Jesus. If you go back with me to the text in verse 44, "Now about noon, the darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. Verse 46, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. I want to take us to Matthew's account, Matthew's version of what took place between noon and 3 p.m. that afternoon. And I want to show you something. Go with me to Matthew 27, verse 45 and 46. "From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in one loud voice, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" You see, in Matthew's account, we see the pain of abandonment from the Father. Jesus cries out, my God, my Lord, where are you? Why have you forsaken me?" And at that very moment, Jesus felt forgotten by his very own Father. And he dies this painful death, all alone, forsaken. And there's a reason why the death had to be like that. There's a reason why the Father in heaven turned his face away, because he's about to do something he's never done before. He turns his face away and he allows the sin of the world to be upon his Son, and he allows his Son to die. That's the only time in history that the Father would allow his Son to take on the sins of the world and die. The Apostle Paul, he puts it like this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. "God the Father made him," that's Jesus, "who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You see, Jesus was forsaken so that we would never, ever be forsaken. Jesus was forsaken by the Father so that we would be the righteousness of God. What does righteousness mean? Well, it means right standing, to stand right before God, to stand pure and holy and perfect before God. So on that cross, the Father turned away and let the Son take on the sin to die, and we take on his righteousness. An exchange took place, and Martin Luther calls this wonderful exchange. Let me read Martin Luther. He says this: "This is the mystery which is rich in divine grace to sinners, wherein by a wonderful exchange, our sins are no longer ours, but Christ's, and the righteousness of Christ, not Christ, but ours. He has emptied himself of his righteousness that he might clothe us with it and fill us with it." Jesus takes on our sin. Jesus clothes us with his righteousness. That's why today is a good day. That is why Good Friday is good, because the Father forsaken the Son so that you and I would never, ever be forsaken, so that we give him his sin and he gives us his righteousness. And Paul says this later on to the Christians in Colossae. He says this in Colossians 2, 13 and 14. He made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our sins, having cancelled the certificate of debt, consisting of the charges against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it on the cross. You know, the phrase certificate of debt here that we see in Paul's writing literally means an itemized receipt. This is the only time that Paul would use this phrase, an itemized receipt. You know, when you go to a restaurant, right, and you've had a great night, a great meal, someone needs to go to the counter. As you go to the counter, you're given a receipt. Is that right? And on the receipt are the items of everything that you've purchased. All your food, all your drinks, all your dessert, everything is listed on this receipt. And at the very end of this receipt, there is what? An amount with a GST. And guess what? Someone has to pay for it. Is that right? Someone has to pay for all the items purchased, ordered on the receipt. And that's the meaning in Colossians, right here. And what Paul is saying is that if Jesus never died, if Jesus never went to the cross, that your life and my life is like a receipt with all the things we've done written on it. Every evil desire, every evil deed, every evil thought, every evil action, every evil towards others and towards God, we find it on a receipt listed out. All our wrongdoings, and let me say this, that list will be one long list that will go on miles upon miles. And the shocking thing about this list, if we look carefully in the text, in Colossians 2, it is hostile to us. It is not a list to boast. It's not a list to be proud of. It's not a badge or a trophy to parade around. It is hostile towards us. It is an enemy to us. It is against us. This receipt here, it is accusing us, condemning us, separating us to God, and sending us into eternal separation. And friends, here's the scary thing about this list. There's nothing you and I can do to get rid of it. And someone still needs to pay for it. Someone still needs to pay for all the items on that receipt. But that's why it's the good news. And that's the reason why Good Friday is Good Friday, because on that cross, Jesus takes everything on that receipt, everything listed, every evil thought, every evil actions, every evil intentions, he takes it and he places it on himself and he pays for it with his blood. He wipes it clear through his death and he forgives you and he forgives me and he gives us his righteousness. That's why today is a good day. It's good news because he says to everyone here that if you call upon my name, I will take every item on your receipt and I will pay for it in full and I'll wipe it clear and I will never ever remember your sin again. God says this in Hebrews 8:12, and I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sins. It's good news. That's why today is Good Friday. He cancelled the record of debt that stood against us. And he is here this morning. And he's saying to anyone here that if you think that your list is long, and if you feel that your list is accusing you, condemning you, judging you, he is here this morning to say that I will pay that in full. that I will take your receipt and I will wipe it clear with my blood and I will give you my righteousness. And you can walk away this morning knowing that that list has been wiped clear. That's the good news. That's why today is Good Friday. He died for us. He took all our sins away. And he is here today. He is here this morning and is offering forgiveness to anyone who wants him this morning. If you want Jesus, if you say, well, Pastor, I want Jesus in my life. I've done a lot of bad things and I'm not proud of those things. And I want the good news. I want to receive Jesus into my life, that I would love to pray for you in a moment. Today is a good day because Jesus takes all our sins and he gives us his righteousness, that wonderful exchange. He was forsaken so that you and I would never, ever have to be forsaken. He died for us, for every single one of us. And he is here this morning. And he's saying that my good news is for you. That I'm here to love you. I'm here to forgive you. There is no sin that he cannot and will not forgive. There is nothing that is greater than his love for you and for me. Maybe you're here this morning because someone has been praying for you. Someone invited you to come here this morning to hear the good news that there is a Jesus who loves you a lot. There's a Jesus who died for you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to welcome you into his family. Maybe you are someone who've been coming to this church for some weeks, some months. But this morning, right now, you're saying, I need Jesus. I need to welcome Jesus into my life. There are things that I've done. It's accusing me. It's condemning me. It's judging me. It's hostile to me. I want Jesus to take it away. I'm going to offer you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. So with all eyes closed, I'm going to ask this question here. Is there anyone here this morning? Anyone here who says that, yes, Pastor, I want Jesus. I've done some horrible things and I've realized that this list here, it's haunting me. It's condemning me. Will you take it away? And Jesus says that if you place your trust in him and you believe with your heart that he died for you, that he's taken your sin, if you believe in that, he will forgive you. He will set you free, free into his family. So I ask this morning here, and I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to know, who can I pray for? If that is you, you're saying, Pastor, yes, I want Jesus. I want Jesus in my life. I need Jesus.